Hello and welcome to the show. I'm Coy Wire. It is Wednesday, March 25th. It is also Your Word Wednesday here on CNN 10. So listen up, see if the vocabulary word that you submitted helped us write today's show. Let's get to it. We begin with the ongoing chaos at airport security lines across the United States this week, mostly a result of the partial government shutdown, which is now in its second month. As of this taping, lawmakers are still working towards a funding deal to reopen the Department of Homeland Security. The issue at the center of the shutdown, and is causing extreme delays and frustration at some of the country's busiest airports. At Houston's George Bush Intercontinental Airport, travelers have faced long lines at all hours of the day, with warnings that wait times could exceed 4 hours. At Atlanta's Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport, the busiest airport in the world by passenger volume, lines snake through baggage claim all the way outside at times. Officials stopped posting wait times because lines were too long for computer systems to track.
This is insane. We didn't think it was going to be this bad.
I got there 3 hours early and I made it to my gate like 20 minutes before they were boarding. It was bad.
The delays are largely due to a growing number of Transportation Security Administration, or TSA, officers calling off. They haven't been paid in more than a month, and many say they needed to find part-time jobs. DHS says more than 450 officers have quit since the shutdown began. Many have continued working without pay, some relying on things like food banks to get by.
My son usually goes to spring break camps, and I can't afford that right now because there's no money coming in, and it's just, I don't know what to do anymore. There's no babysitter. I'm up to my last, almost $100.
On Monday, the federal government deployed Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, agents to some of the hardest-hit airports. ICE agents are considered essential employees and are paid during shutdowns. Officials say more could be deployed this week to support TSA with things like crowd control.
This is about helping TSA do their mission and get the American public through that airport as quick as they can while adhering to all the security guidelines.
Some critics, including TSA workers, appear skeptical that the move will help improve an already untenable situation.
I don't believe that they're trained in a way that they can help us. Since I've been here, I've seen them outside standing around. I don't know if they are doing anything. I don't know.
I guess the question that now has to be asked, is this going to be the new norm? You know, is every weekend, going to be a 5-6 hour wait at the checkpoints to get on your flight, if you can even make it?
I do say that I think they should just fund the Department of Homeland Security, pay those workers. They're here for a reason, to protect us every day, and I don't think ICE agents should really be up there just filling in the hole.
Pop quiz, hot shot. Which layer of the atmosphere contains the oxygen and nitrogen humans and animals use to breathe? Troposphere, mesosphere, thermosphere, or stratosphere? If you said troposphere, you're a breath of fresh air. The stratosphere protects our planet from harmful UV rays, but pollutants like vehicle emissions and burning fossil fuel can damage both layers of our atmosphere. A newly released global study is sounding the alarm on the global rise in air pollution in certain cities. The report from IQ Air analyzes air pollution data from 9,500 cities in 143 countries, with a 23% jump in unhealthy air particles. The report ranks Loni, India, as the most polluted city on the planet, likely driven by dust storms, seasonal smog, industrial emissions, and crop burning. Only about 14% of cities worldwide met the World Health Organization's air quality guidelines in 2025, down from 17% the year before. But the good news is there are plenty of cities and countries taking care of the air up there. According to NOAA and NASA, scientists say the hole in the ozone layer is shrinking. Last year, it was the fifth smallest since 1992. A survey of largely unexplored limestone caves in northwestern Cambodia has just uncovered a range of new species. They include a turquoise pit viper, a flying snake, several geckos, two micro snails, and two millipedes. The conservation charity Fauna and Flora surveyed the region between November of 2023 and July of 2025. It explored 64 different caves across 10 hills. Our next musings take us to the museum with a behind-the-scenes look at the High Museum of Art in Atlanta. Turns out there are a lot of career paths available to those of us with an interest in art. We got to explore one exhibit that blends fashion, creativity, and innovation, and learn the different careers that bring big ideas from runways to museum floors. Check it out. Here at the High Museum in Atlanta, Georgia, if you love art, did you ever think about making a career out of it? Creativity isn't just in the art we see, it's something some people do for a living. From bold fashion exhibitions to hands-on learning programs, a whole team works behind the scenes to make art meaningful for visitors of all ages. One of their most eye-catching projects was the Victor and Rolf Fashion Exhibition, and we got to learn about the work behind the wow.
They create these designs that are sculpture. So they push the edge, and they're very theatrical. They're very unexpected, upside down dresses and perforated things and things that a lot of people say to me, it's impossible to wear. And I said, yeah, they want to challenge you to think about what fashion is and fashion as sculpture. And that, I think, is a very big part of what we wanted to convey here at the High, is that sure, fashion is art. Absolutely. It's design, but it is also art. And when you walk through these galleries, we wanted you to feel it was almost like a theatrical production or an opera.
From vision to fruition.
Immediately begin working with our in-house exhibition designer and her team to envision what this is going to look like. What are the paint colors? Where's the music going to be playing? How do all of these sort of technological aspects, how are those integrated in the exhibition for our venue?
Months of design, construction, and collaboration helped bring the international show from Munich to Atlanta. But exhibitions are only part of the museum's mission.
I work in our learning and civic engagement department, and it's my job to try to make us a more thought-provoking institution. So my job is to research, to learn more about our visitors.
Her work focuses on how people, especially young visitors, connect with art.
I'm so wowed by the personal connections these young people make, you know, with these works of art, because it's not so much about exactly what the artist wanted you to know, that intent, but it's what the artist made you feel. And young people are so open, and so they make amazing connections. I almost always learn something new when I talk to kids in front of art.
Just like these awesome students we ran into on a field trip.
Rise up!
Museums rely on many careers, from educators to event planners to storytellers.
It's a business, right? So we need a chief of financial officer. We need accountants, right? We need people who are great at logistics and can help us manage a huge event, people who raise money, people who know how to tell a great story. We have a big PR and marketing department. That's an important part of our business. So there's a lot of different kinds of jobs at an art museum.
For chief curator Kevin Tucker, that career began with curiosity about how things are made. And even as technology evolves, Kevin says human creativity remains irreplaceable.
AI is just another tool in the toolbox. And I think it has to draw from existing bodies of creativity, existing bodies of work. But what I think is so very special about the individual's interaction with art and the creative process is just that. Individuality and the individual expression, I think, is always going to be conveyed by those works that are touched by individuals.
The museum's goal? To leave visitors inspired to see the world in a new way. What's the one thing you hope people take away from this exhibit?
I'm going to say two.
Okay.
And that's excitement and curiosity. And I think if you're curious, excitement follows. You know, that's one of those things, because you're discovering new things as you walk through the galleries. And it's always been my hope that visitors walk away and go, you know what? I want more. I want to know more about art. And I want to be involved in that. So if they walk away excited and curious, I'm happy.
Today's story getting a 10 out of 10, a group of students from Bangor, Maine, reaching for the stars, literally.
We're sending yeast to the stratosphere.
The science project called Yeast in the Stars will expose active baker's yeast to UV radiation and freezing temperatures, and then measure the changes back on Earth. It's all part of NASA's TechRise Student Challenge, a nationwide competition where students design real experiments for flights, from high-altitude balloons to suborbital spacecraft. these students are one of 25 teams selected.
I was super duper happy when I heard that our school won.
Students built the project themselves, learning skills like coding, soldering, and engineering along the way.
We're learning how to solder, we're learning hands-on stuff. Wiring, they're learning a lot too, and mounting is, it's amazing.
The team presents its work to NASA in May, turning a classroom idea into a real mission in motion. All right, superstars, we have a shout-out going to Miss Desjarnais at the Arts-Based School in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Thank you for making us part of your day. Rise up. Thanks to everyone subscribing and commenting on our socials and our CNN 10 YouTube channel. You make this the best 10 minutes in news. And we would be remiss if we did not give a huge congratulations to our Your Word Wednesday winners, Mr. Galati's class at Acadia Middle School in Clifton Park, New York, for submitting untenable, an adjective meaning unable to be defended, maintained, or justified against criticism. Thank you for increasing our vocab today. I'll see you tomorrow, everyone. I'm Coy Wire, and we are CNN 10.